heard the Christmas story before? Yes, absolutely. It's a story that many of us know really well. And you know what? Like all of the best stories, it's great because it's a true story. Now, who can tell me how many sleeps there are to go until Christmas? Eight. That's right. Eight sleeps till Christmas. Is anybody really, really excited by that? Yes, I'm very excited by that. We were very excited in my household this morning. And this Christmas story is one, it's a story of hope. And this Advent here at Christ the King, we've been thinking all about the word hope. So I'm going to ask Nadine to jump up for me and grab the mic and do some running. Because I want to know, if anyone's willing to share with us, what are you hoping for this Christmas?
Slime.
Slime. Good. Okay. Got to love some slime.
Love it. A Segway.
A Segway. Mm. Doesn't have to be a gift. There's one at the back.
Sleep.
Sleep. I am with you there. Anyone else? Anyone got anything else they're hoping for?
Doing a bit of running this morning.
Peace throughout the whole world and a small box of chocolates.
One slightly more achievable than the other.
What type of chocolates?
Ooh, continentals.
Oh, that woke everybody up. We're continental fans here. Thanks, Nadine. You can sit down now. We might be hoping for different things, don't we? It's a time of year that we talk about, I hope I'm going to get that gift I really want. Or I hope that the weather's going to stay clear tonight for the carol service, which it is. Or I hope that I'll get some sleep. Or I hope that somebody might just help me do the washing up on Christmas Day so that I'm not left to it myself. We talk a lot about hoping, and we're going to explore this word hope now together. Now, did anyone remember when you were at school or when you're at school now doing those poems where you'd put the letters down the side of the page and you'd have to write something for each of the letters? That's what we're going to do this morning. So we're going to go through the letters of hope. And if you're a person who's still at school, you might want to turn over the paper on your prayer and you might want to write your own now, because I've written some, but I bet you guys can do better than me. And so while I'm talking, you might want to come up with your own hope prayer, different words. Let's see how many different words you could get for each letter of hope, those of you who are still at school. But we're going to start with the first letter of hope, which is H, the first letter of hope. Now, there could be lots of different things that cause us to be hopeful or need to hope. And we're going to think about four of them. I've got four words for each letter. The mathematicians among you will know we're going through 16 things now. And I think one of the first things is often when we need some help. We might be hoping for help with a situation that we find ourselves in. It might be practical help. It might be someone just to support us or help us to get through something. Maybe we think that more money or a different job would really help things right now. Maybe we don't actually know what we need to help us, but we find ourselves in some of those challenging situations just whispering to ourselves, help. I just need some help with what I'm dealing with, hoping that somebody hears and somebody comes to help. Often I think we're hoping for things because what we really want is we just want to be happy. We all want to be happy, right? And you might think that actually getting the thing we're hoping for is that's going to bring us happiness. If I open that present I really want on Christmas Day, I'm going to be really happy. If I get that job, I'll be happy. If that relationship works out, I'll be happy. I'm just hoping for something that will make me happy. But the question is, how? Often we find ourselves hoping because we don't know how. How to get help, or how to be happy, or how to deal with everything that's going on in our lives or the world. How are we going to do this? How am I going to get through this? How am I going to achieve that goal? What we really may be longing for with all these things is a hero. someone to swoop in and rescue us. It'd be great if everybody could, if someone could just take everything off my hands and do it all for me. Or just show me the way out. Or just sweep me off my feet and take me to some paradise island and it'll be fine. I need a hero because I feel like I need rescuing. And I feel like we all feel like that at some times in our lives. Someone who we can trust. Someone who we can put our hope in. We're on to our next letter, O. See, often I think that we're hoping for a hero, but we think that really we've got to do it all on our own. And sometimes, if we're honest, we'd rather it that way. We think that we can do it best if we do it ourselves. My way is the best way. And I'm going to go on my own way because that's what will make me happy. And I get to make all the decisions. And do you know what? People often like to choose their own way. They have done right throughout history. Right at the beginning of creation, we hear the story of Adam and Eve. And God gave them just one instruction in the garden to follow. But they decided that actually their own way was the better way. Now, God only gives us rules not to restrict us, but to protect us. Just like grown-ups with young children, we give our children rules to protect them and show them the best way in life. It's the same with God, with us. But because we like doing our things our own way, we often don't like being obedient. We don't like following the rules. We'd rather do things the way that we think is right. And people, right from Adam and Eve, chose to do things their own way. They chose not to be obedient. But the thing is that we believe in a perfect God. And you can't put something that's not perfect with something that's perfect, because then the thing that's perfect wouldn't be perfect anymore. And Adam and Eve found themselves on the outside of the Garden of Eden, where they used to walk so closely with God. And people have found themselves throughout history on the outside of God's good way, on the outside of God's goodness. And the thing is, all things that are good come from God. And so when we find ourselves on the outside of him, it hurts. Ouch. It hurts our hearts and it hurts God's heart, because he loves each and every one of us. And he wants each and every one of us to walk in the best ways, which is his way. So it all looks pretty bleak at the O. We've gone our own way. We're not obedient. We found ourselves outside of God's goodness. And ouch, it hurts. On to P. The good thing is that God had a plan. God had a plan right from the very beginning about what he was going to do about this. He wouldn't leave his people on the outside. No, he'd make a way so that they could find themselves back to him again. And God's plan was a person. It couldn't just be any person, though. This had to be the perfect person. Now, there's no such thing as a perfect person, is there? Every single one of us, no matter how brilliant we might think we are, gets things wrong. Nobody is perfect. So what was God to do? Well, God did something absolutely incredible. God went himself. He became a person, the person called Jesus. And one of the names of Jesus in the Bible is the Prince of Peace. He came not to start a war, but to bring peace on earth. We've heard about peace this morning. Peace to our hearts and peace with one another. Peace from troubled thoughts that might plague our minds. Peace from the chaos going on around us. Peace from the guilt that we so often carry when we have got things wrong, as we so often do. And he made a way by taking the punishment for all of the wrong things we have ever done, dying on a cross in our place and rising again, so that we might be forgiven, so that we might not be on the outside any longer, so that we could know the goodness of God again. Jesus is the very best present that there is. God's gift to each and every one of us. And there's two meanings to the word present, aren't there? There's the presents that we unwrap under the Christmas tree, but there's being present. Being where you are, being with somebody. And he is the God who is present with each and every one of us if we invite him in. And this gift is for everyone. Put your hand up if you are a person. Brilliant. Right. So everyone includes each and every one of you, even those of you who have forgotten that you're people this morning or are introverted and I've just asked you to do something really uncomfortable and put your hand up. Each and every one of you God came for. Each and every one of you God loves. Each and every one of you God died for. And he longs for you to know him. See, we can put our hope in all kinds of things. Maybe it is physical stuff. Maybe it's finances. Maybe it's our job, our reputation. Maybe we put our hope in a relationship or in other people. But the thing is that none of those things last forever. Things break, or we grow out of them, or we need the latest model. Money runs out. Jobs can end. And people so often let us down. But here's the thing about Jesus. He will never let you down. He is always there. He is always good. Because the gift of Jesus is an everlasting gift. It's for eternity. It never stops. And God is not some distant being sat on a cloud far, far away. He's not some angry teacher that we so often paint him as, waiting to tell us off. He's the God who draws close to us, who is with you even in your loneliest moment when you feel like nobody else sees or hears you. I promise you that he does. He's the God who embraces each and every one of us who comes to him. He embraces us as his own and calls us his children. One of the names that we hear for Jesus in so many of our Christmas readings is our final word for today, Emmanuel, which means very simply, God with us. He is with us right here, right now. He is with you if you're watching online at home too. We all put our hope in something. But this Christmas, I want to invite you to put your hope in the only thing worth doing so. And that is in Jesus. Maybe you already know him. And actually, God wants to increase your faith today and say, trust me. Put your hope in me. Whatever you've got going on right now, I know it. I am with you in it. You can hope again. Maybe you don't know him. But you know that you need to hope in something. And if you don't, on your way out, we have these books called Why Christmas. They're on the table by the outer door. I really encourage you to pick one up and find out more about the God in who we put our hope and trust in. He turned the world upside down, and he is still transforming lives today. My life is one of those. And yours could be too. The invitation is to believe. Amen.